Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. Welcome to Walking in the Way of Jesus, a journey through the Gospel of Mark. I'm Jay Voorhees, pastor of the City Road Chapel United Methodist Church, located in Madison, Tennessee, and your guide as we look together at the life of Jesus, the rabbi from Nazareth, upon whom Christianity is based. This past Sunday, Christians throughout the world gathered together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. So it's only fitting that we end our read-through of Mark's story of Jesus with his account of the resurrection, found in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they could go and anoint Jesus' dead body. Very early on in the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they came to the tomb. They were saying to each other, "Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, and it was a very large stone. Going into the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe seated on the right side, and they were startled. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He isn't here. Look, here's the place where they laid him. Go tell his disciples, especially Peter, that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you." Overcome with terror and dread, they fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And that's how the story ends for Mark, with the women fleeing from the tomb in fear and not saying a word to anyone else. It's not an especially satisfactory ending, is it? That ending confounded the monks and scribes who copied editions of the New Testament and who knew the other accounts of Jesus' resurrection. At some point in time, some of them created new endings to Mark's story. One scribe added a ninth verse with the women telling Peter what they had been told and the followers of Jesus being sent out into the world. Another scribe added verses 9 through 20, drawing on the other stories of Jesus' resurrection to create a more satisfactory ending, albeit one that's used to justify the handling of snakes in worship in some traditions. However, through textual analysis and the discovery of older manuscripts of Mark's Gospel, scholars agree that these were later additions that were not part of the story as Mark presented it. So why, then, does Mark end the story with the women in fear? It doesn't seem especially triumphant. Why would Mark's story end in such a negative way? One answer, of course, is something that we've talked about before, that Mark is leaving the reader with the question, what would you do if the angel stood before you and told you that he had risen from the dead? Mark knows that his readers already know that Jesus has risen from the dead. He is writing to a church that has been formed in the knowledge and belief of the resurrection. Their very existence is tied to the proclamation that Christ has and is risen. They don't need to be convinced of the historical truth of the resurrection. They do, however, need to be challenged in their faith in the face of attack and persecution. Belief in the resurrected Christ was a dangerous proposition in a world in which both Romans and Jews alike saw the Jesus movement as a challenge to their beliefs and power. Mark is reminding his community that there are two ways to act in the face of persecution: to follow Jesus wherever that leads, or to flee in fear. In asking the question, "What would you do?" he is reminding them that their forebears ran away in fear, but they are called to do better. Of course, that's a challenge for us as well. Paul, in his New Testament writing, speaks of the foolishness of the cross. Knowing that the concept of a Messiah who is killed and rose from the dead falls outside human reason. Many today likewise struggle with the notion of a risen Christ because something that's dead coming back to life transcends human logic. Ultimately, belief in the resurrection is one of faith, not logic. It comes through seeing the followers of Jesus transformed in their faith and practice, in their absolute belief that Jesus has risen from the dead. It comes through the examples of persons of faith who live out God's love in their belief in a risen Christ. While there are some who try to create logical justifications for the foolishness of the cross, in the end, it requires the suspension of logic and the faith to believe that Christ's triumph over death is a manifestation of God's love in the world. And Mark asks us, do you really believe it? And if so, are you filled with fear or assurance? Take a moment to reflect on the story as Mark tells it. What is Mark asking you today? So today's podcast concludes our walkthrough of Mark's Gospel, and I hope that you've grown in your knowledge of Jesus' story and found a deeper connection with it. I originally began this podcast in the summer of 2020, when the COVID pandemic was keeping us locked down in our homes and we really didn't know when we'd be able to get together again. As I record this, it's the spring of 2022. And we're beginning to learn how to live with COVID in our midst. I think it's important for us, though, to never forget that Mark was writing to a community of faith, trying to live out that faith in the world. For Mark, and really all the writers of the New Testament, faith was not an individualistic enterprise, but was something that is lived out in community. Mark's challenge to his readers assumes that they could transcend the fear of the resurrection through their coming together to remember the story and support one another in their journey of faith. And I hope that at some level we've been able to do that together as a podcast community over the past year and a half or so. But as the world opens up, I want to make sure that you know that you are now part of the City Road Chapel community of faith. And if you ever get a chance to come see us in person, we would love to have you come by and join us in worship. As we end today, I offer a final benediction to each one of you from Paul's letter to the Romans. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.